continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So how about a warm welcome now for Marilyn?
Good evening. Hello, Zoomers. Good to see you. I'm Marilyn, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
and yes, I will speak into the mic. That better? Okay. I'm glad to be at step 10. This has been quite a week. I've been able to implement step 10 on many occasions this week in my life. And it's one of those things. I got to working on the step, and I think that my higher power decided that I needed some things to work on so that I could practice step 10 very well. So I'll tell you more about that later. So this is the first of the what I've heard them called the maintenance steps, 10, 11, and 12. And step 10 is the beginning of those, and I want to show you this. Some of you may have seen this book. It's called The Ripple Effect, but it says more than that. It's using step 10 to work steps 6 and 7 every day. It's an excellent book. I kind of got reacquainted with it. I did this book with my sponsor last summer, I believe it was. We would meet weekly in Edinburgh at this little pavilion and share on what we got out of whatever chapter we were doing, and I would like type out my comments and my impressions of what I got from it. It's an excellent book, so if you get an opportunity to read it, it really brought this step especially, and how to use 6 and 7 in our maintenance of daily recovery. So in this book, I'm going to start out with just a little review. Ripple Effect is a very thorough guide to working step 10 by using steps 6 and 7. In summary, of the 12 steps, step 1 is truth about the problem. Step 2 is truth about the solution. Step 3 is the truth about what blocks us from experiencing a solution. Steps 4 through 9 gets us unblocked, and steps 10 through 12 keeps us unblocked. So I hope that made sense. It makes sense to me. Steps 1 through 9 are not meant to be done the one and done thing. Like you take the steps and then you go on with your life. And I've had that experience. I've done that. I was very misguided in doing that. So I don't agree with it or encourage anyone to have that attitude today. The ongoing practice of 4 through 9 is what step 10 is all about. And the daily practice makes our recovery lifestyle what I would call sustainable. I can keep it going. But if I'm not working those steps, and I for one, have to go back. I go back to step 2 and 3. And most mornings, I think almost every morning, I will stand in front of we have a A-frame window that looks out over on French Creek, and I say the third step prayer. And it kind of centers me into the day and gets me focused on where my mind and my body and my emotions need to be. So, I already said I didn't work the steps really. I'm going to be real honest, for probably the first 10 years. And I think what happened for me is that the restless, irritable, and discontent started taking over. I'd see it at home. I'd see it at work. I'd see it. My neighbors can annoy me if I let them. Well, if you knew where we lived, we have a house with two holes. The roof is caved in. They abandoned the house. And on the other side, Buzz calls it lawn ornaments, where they don't have the blue Walmart tarps, but they do have a lot of lawn ornaments that are rusting and dying in the lot in the yard. Not to mention the 15 cats in a run that come out of this. It's a mess. So, yes, I really need to be working these steps. And I'm finally getting a real hang of it, because this week has been quite the week. I want to display my trophies. See this arm? Is it pretty? That's from tractor repair. We have two lawn tractors, so that if one breaks down, we can use the other one. Well, they both broke down. So I get under, Buzz does the hard stuff, I do the adjusting stuff, but I also beat myself up pretty good. And I get restless, irritable, and discontent, and impatient, and snappy. And so step 10 has been a good experience for me this week. So the step starts with a very simple word, continued, which means to move forward or onward, keep going into a course of action. And the action is to maintain our recovery, my recovery. We already have done step 4, so to do that, if I could keep in my mind my character defects every minute of the day, I'd be doing a lot better, but I'm still working on that. So we continued to take. What do you take? To take something is to take an action, I think. I couldn't really get a good definition, but it's an action that we perform. It's something that we do. And the action is the personal inventory, which is step 4. I go back and I look at the situation, my part in it, how my character defects are raising a ruckus, and then get to see my harms that I've done and then make amends. I had an amend I had to make to my cat yesterday. The house cat, not the outside cat, but he's annoying. And my computer was not working, and it was deleting my outline. Yeah, I'm putting it in, and it's taking it out as fast as it could. And so he's up there by my computer trying to walk on it. And I had one of those little window screens that you can throw in a window, and it was just sitting there. So I took it, and I said, "Get away from me!" And I kind of pushed him. I didn't smack him, but I did push him with the screen. And I'm like, "What are you doing? You're letting all of these events of the day just totally rain on your parade." And so I made an amend. He got an extra treat and a pat on the head. He was an easy one. He forgets easily. Some of the people in my life may not forget so quickly. So promptly admitted it. Promptly. I don't know about you, but I've had a tendency to wait on things. Well, I have to think this through and choose just right, the right timing and just the right words. And basically as saying, you know, I may or I may not do it. And what happens a lot of times is that can escalate a situation and cause more resentments for whoever's involved or for myself. So on page 84 of the big book, there's a quote that I want to transition with. We vigorously commenced this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. In those 10 years I was telling you about, I don't know how effective I was, because I was not centered, grounded. I wasn't really working the program the way it is designed for us. So to live in the Spirit, what does that mean? What is the actual concept of that? Well, living in the world of the Spirit means we are now Spirit-guided instead of ego-driven. And in other words, we're living under new management. And I am really, really glad that I have new management. My old manager, my ego, has not been the best. So I think that I wanted to say more. Part of what I had down was deleted, and I didn't get it back, and it must have deleted from my mind too. But the Spirit, the whole concept of the Spirit in our lives, our higher power guiding and directing, is something that is very, very special and precious to me, and that I'm glad I have now that I haven't had in the past. So the 12 and 12 on page 90 says it is a spiritual axiom, which I think is a spiritual truth, that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. I really want to blame you. I don't want to blame me. And so to recognize and to admit that this is something wrong with me, not you, is a step in spiritual growth for me. Up to step 10, we've thoroughly taken the steps necessary, right? We've just really honed in on every one of them and did it perfectly. Okay, I will never do anything perfectly, but we do it the best we can. So now we must maintain our recovery by continually taking that daily inventory of our character defects. That's thinking, feelings, behaviors. One of mine is dishonesty and anger. The Big Book talks a lot about resentments. To me, resentment is a form of anger. I just think it's a nicer word than anger. So, but it's definitely something that can escalate. There's a prayer in the Big Book that's very, very brief. It's one sentence, and it's very helpful for me because it is simple. When my character defects, when they crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. Take it away, remove it. I'll help you with this. And that's where I make my amend if I have to. Sometimes I just have to take a step back and start processing, what is going on with you, Marilyn? What's going on? What's the emotional charge? What are you feeling physically or spiritually? Because sometimes I can be off spiritually. So we go on to discuss the situations with someone. I do that. I do that with Buzz sometimes. I will call my sponsor. I don't try now to do things on my own. I don't know how many of you journal, but that's been an effective thing for me. Just write it down. And I date it because I have to remember when I did that. So what I got to say for me is that applying step 10 to my daily affairs, my interactions with people, with my animals, with the neighbors, my attitudes towards things that happen, once I have a better understanding of the maintenance steps, then I've got the tools to deal with them. I realized that my inventory, when I take it, and I can snap at Buzz. Yeah, he's going. And it doesn't take me long to say, I'm sorry. You know, that was unnecessary. And then I try to speak to what my feeling is so that I can just sort of get it away from me. Take the charge out of it, I guess, would be the best thing to say. To me, to be spirit-guided has, although I'm telling you some of the things I've done this week, when I'm spirit-guided, I see improvement. I can be very much more patient with things. I can break down a problem situation, think it through, take a step back, and not get all hung up on it. I used to drink over things like that. It didn't take me much either. I'd have a plan all started in my head. This is what I'm going to do. It was my pressure valve, I guess. The big book tells us the fight is over. There are promises in step 10, and I'm just going to mention a couple of them now and maybe another one later on, but on page 85, the first couple is, by now, our sanity has returned. Okay. My first realization had to be that I lost my mind. I was doing things that were totally crazy, irrational. So by now, our sanity has returned. We have ceased fighting anything and anyone, and even alcohol. We are in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I love those two words, safe and protected. Spiritual connection becomes a new coping skill. I cope by reconnecting. And I have to do that. I wish I could do it once in the morning and it would be done for the day. It doesn't quite work out that way for me. I think I tried to count them. I think there's about 8 promises just in step 10. So our objective is to really keep spiritually fit, to be in a fit spiritual condition, as the big book says. And that gives us our daily reprieve from alcohol, but it also gives me a reprieve from my thinking and my behaviors. I can think them through, I can take a step back and see the bigger picture before I react. Except when the tractor breaks down, both of them. All right, how to make our life, our new life in recovery, sustainable. There's that word again. Something that we can keep going, ongoing. Well, I got to willingly practice step 4 through 9 on a daily basis. Not formally, but certainly in my mind, in my thinking, and in my step 10 process. I've got to carry the vision of God's will into all of my activities by seeking His will instead of my will. And it seems like my will just comes off the top of my head real quick. So it's something that I've learned, I'm still learning, but to slow myself down, to slow my thinking down, just so that I can see that bigger picture. And the other thing is to stay in tune with my actions, my thoughts, my impulses, my emotions. I've already mentioned the emotions thing. And to do that, I'm a big one. In my work, I did a lot of counseling for self-care. I worked with women exclusively, and it was something that I felt called to do. Self-care is an important part of recovery, I believe. But we have 3 dimensions, and the big book mentions it, Joe McHugh mentions it, the 12 and 12 mentions it, it's in here. The 3 dimensions, body, mind, and spirit. And I want you to visualize a circle. This is going to be an audio thing, so you can't see it, so you got to visualize it. But a circle. And then inside this outer circle is another smaller circle. And so what I do, to because I'm a kind of a bit visual learner, is I put the physical on the outside, around the outside of the circle. And it's not just my body. Physical is the physical world, which would be our culture, our society, our world, the things outside of us. And then the first circle inside would then be mind and emotions. And then in the center is the spirit. So we don't, if you work from the inside out, in, outside in, sorry, it's going to be a mess. But if you work from the inside, the spirit center out, things will become much more ordered, peaceful, hopefully content. So the mind, I can't stress the mental and emotional. When my emotions are out of balance, and I might as well be standing like this, or that's what happens to me. And if I try walking around and functioning that way, I'm going to bump into something, let's face it. So my mind, my mental health, in computers, when I took computer in college, it's like they were, the first thing they said in computer 101 was garbage in, garbage out. It was programming. If I put garbage into my mind, guess what comes out? Stinky garbage in the form of stinky behaviors. And it does affect me, my mental health, my emotional health, and my physical health. So what I feed my mind, and hopefully now I feed my mind my recovery skills, the tools that this program teaches us. The spirit, our inner core, the spirit being our guide from within, our within to out, is our God center. That's where our power comes from, the design for living. That's given to us in our recovery. That's why, you know, the God as I understand him, I believe that our higher power is unique to each one of us because he's a personal God. What happens when I function in my own strength? My ego takes over almost immediately. It doesn't take it long. It's just, it's there. And I'm living from the outside in. And things really get messed up real quick. So the acid test is step 10. Can we stay sober? Can I keep emotional balance? Can I live some purpose and meaning? Can I live purposely in all conditions? You know, I can remember this story about Pollyanna when I was a kid. And she was this happy, happy, joy, joy kid that everything was just, like, wonderful. Life isn't like that. But when I'm maintaining my grounding in my spiritual center, I can manage in any situation, even if they're not good situations, and we all have them. They're not pleasant at all, but we do have them. But actually, I'm finding quite a bit of gratitude in the fact that a situation can come up, and if I take that. Sometimes that has to be a physical step back so that I can breathe, I can think, I can pray, I can do something that will disengage my ego and my emotions and my, you know, it's got to be this way, my thinking that thinks that I know best. I don't. I do want to touch briefly on the different types of step 10 inventory, I guess I will call it. It's in the 12 and 12, actually, is where I really started seeing these. The first one is a spot check, And that's any time during the day. It doesn't matter. I try to catch it when my situation, when my interactions with people or cats takes a dirt road. I like to spot check myself. Why are you letting this get to you? There's always a solution. Like with a computer, there was a solution. You go to the trash bin and get it back out and put it back in and save it a million times as you're typing, and it's all good. But if I don't spot check myself, I will just run with whatever emotion is just taking over. And I don't want to live that way. I don't like the feeling that I get. I have suffered from a young child from depression. I don't anymore with a spiritual program. Now, do I have low days? Of course. But generally speaking, with my spiritual program of recovery, I turn it over. I turn to the people in my life, sponsor, making phone calls to other people in recovery, and work it out. But my spot checks make me realize that's what I need to do. So it's basically a quick emotional inventory, and I have to go back sometimes to what basic instincts of being threatened, and then change my behavior. And of course, sometimes there's some amends to be made. And there's an amend that I've been making lately to myself, and that is to myself. Just, you know, be kind to yourself, Marilyn. You don't have to be doing this. Or I can kind of make fun of myself. What do you think you're doing? Just turn it over. Just quit. Just quit with all of this. I try not to say that in front of people. Well, I just said it in front of a whole bunch of people. That's okay. And then there's the day's end. Now, this is what I've always heard of, you know, the review at the end of the day. So at first I tried to do it. I'm lying in bed. I don't do much review. I do more like falling asleep. But to review the happenings of the day, what went right, what went wrong, that's not a bad thing to do. It's just not the only thing that we have to do, because I have to make them as the day goes on. I have to do those spot checks and those step 10 inventories. And then there's a personal review, and I've done several of these, probably many of these. They're probably too many to really count. But a personal review is either alone or with my sponsor. And that way, I can assess my progress, assess things that aren't going so well. And actually, this has worked out really well with one particular area, and that was with setting boundaries with friends, even sponsees, and with family. From talking it over with Gina, I realized how weak my boundaries were and how dishonest I was, because I was not being consistent, and I was not asking for what I needed or telling how I felt about a situation. So that personal review, that happened a few years ago, and it's been very valuable to my recovery. Then there's the personal retreat. Now, it doesn't have to be a formal go away for the weekend type of thing, but what I mean by a personal retreat is taking some time alone, maybe out in nature, in a quiet place in the house or whatever, a time for prayer, readings, meditation. And if I found that if I don't start my day like that, it's like it's going to go sideways real quick. And then I do have to stop. And one good thing I heard years ago is you can start your day over anytime. It's a very good thing. I can remember years ago in my early recovery, it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I decided to just start my day over. It works. So the things that I practice, I tell you what, you can't help but hear these things. We don't watch the news, but you get it on the computer, you get it on the phone or whatever, but I've taken a lot, I've learned a lot from the Will Smith Oscar slap.
Wow.
Seriously. What did he do wrong? His ego came out to play in a very public place, and he has received some very unpleasant consequences. He lost his Oscar. So I try real hard not to get to the point of, I don't slap my cat, folks, just so you know. But if I'm not taking that time, taking a step back from time to time to review, what are you doing? What's happening? Why are you getting so upset about this? And I used to do that at work. You know, working with inmates was so much fun. But they were actually the highlight of my day. It was more staff that was a little bit more of a challenge for me. But I had a little office that was just like a cubicle, a closet. I called it my closet. It had a window. It was long and narrow. Desk, chair, closet, filing cabinet window. That's it. And when I would have the need to take that step back, there was this neat little corner by my filing cabinet. I had the air conditioner in the window so nobody could see me. It's there, just doing my little prayer meditation. Sometimes just having to do a little pounding and then, you know, regrouping and getting my serenity back. So that's something that I've done now for quite a while. But, you know, in the process of all of this, the one thing that I've really gained and I really like is self-restraint. You know, I know my emotions. I know my feelings. Back in the day when I was drinking, I didn't know what I felt. I was numb most of the time, and the only thing that came out real clear was my anger. But now, the feelings, I can tell when something's wrong. I suffer from spring allergies, as I'm sure a lot of you do. And I got this wonderful idea of buying an antihistamine, a 24-hour one that you take at night. It can make you drowsy. So I take it. I slept well. I get up in the morning like this, can't open my eyes, I'm just a mess. And that went away with two cups of coffee, mugs of coffee. But what happened was, around maybe 11 o'clock in the morning, I had this feeling inside of total agitation, and there was nothing wrong. I felt good because my allergies weren't acting up. But it was obviously from the medication. But at first it's like, what is wrong with me? But because I have this process, I was able to, that's the medication. We won't be doing that again. So now I just, you know, deal with it. I've never liked hangovers. How about you? You like them? Usually they're not that much fun. I equally don't like emotional hangovers. And my emotional hangovers are the things that cause me to make amends through step 10. So I do try to practice spiritual fitness, connection with my higher power, connections with others, communicating what's going on with me so that is not at that often that I have to make the amends. Not that I want to avoid them totally, because I learn from them. But it's showing that I'm growing if I'm not having to make them 10 times in a day. So I'm going to end with this. The big book on page 85 says, if we carefully follow directions, we have begun to sense the flow of the Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God conscious. We have begun to develop this vital sixth sense. I'm still working on that. But we must go further, and that means more action. So next week, we do step 11. That's it.
Thank you, Marilyn. And so now it's time for the Q&A portion of the meeting. And the speak directly into the microphone instructions apply to the remote microphone as well, maybe even more so. So anyone with a question for Marilyn?
Thanks so much, Marilyn. I really appreciate your information and guidance on step 10, pretty much the way I view it. Early in my sobriety, when I was working the steps, step 10, you know, 10, 11, and 12 were just like maintenance in the back of my mind, you know, and there was very little action that I took. And then as I spent more time here, it became more and more beneficial to pay attention to what was happening on a day-to-day basis and catch things as they happened. And then, you know, after about 20 or 25 years of sobriety, then it was nice to go to bed and go to sleep and not have any problems. Mm-hmm. Now, recently, I've heard in some meetings in my community that I no longer go to, and they have people saying things like, you have to, my sponsor makes me do a step 10 every night, you know, and I have to write it out and call her and read it, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about? You know, step 10, as I understand it, as I was taught, was something that we do throughout the day. It's a continuous kind of awareness, and it's written right there. There's four things, you know, we stay aware, and when these things happen, we ask God for help. We make amends where needed. We call somebody, and then we go help somebody. It's pretty simple. The directions are there.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that every night we take pen to paper and do a fourth step on the day. I mean, I could just imagine if somebody, you know, told me I had to do that. And I was wondering if you had heard that in your community at all, or had anyone ever talked to you about that.
Actually, just recently on a meeting, a Zoom meeting that I go to, one of the speakers had said that that's what her sponsor has her do. One of the things I like about this program is it's not a legalistic, you must do this way. It's not that. I think that if we work it just right, or the way it's spelled out for us, it flows. And by the time we get to step 10, I want to be more consciously aware of my actions, my thinking, my feelings, so that I don't necessarily... I wouldn't remember everything that happened to put it down on paper anyway. But yeah, I've been hearing it lately. But I think there's some people who, when they sponsor, perhaps they're a lot more regimented and you must do it this way. I don't know. It wouldn't work for me.
So. I just don't understand where they're getting it from.
They're not getting it from the big book. Thank you.
If anyone on Zoom has a question, go ahead and just unmute yourself and fire away.
Hi, Marilyn. Hi. So earlier you said something about when you're working the steps, all of a sudden you'll find that your sanity came back. Well, if you never had it, how do you get it back? I mean, honestly, I never knew what sanity meant because my mind has always been my sanity. So it's very hard for me to distinguish, you know, what is sanity for me? Sounds like a dumb question, but it really...
No, I think it's a good question, actually. You know, I think sanity, how we define it, is going to be different for each of us. Our realities are different. My sanity had to do with me not being this human reactor all the time. I lived in this unrealistic belief that I needed to react to everything. And I look back at some of the ways I reacted and I go, dang, that was crazy. That's insane. So it's a word, sanity, but to be able to live in reality and to face things as they come instead of always reacting, that's what I call sanity.
Trevor, I'll call it.
Hey, Trevor.
Marilyn, thanks again. Quick question. When you started taking the steps, as you alluded to early tonight, and by that I mean when you got on the inventory and decided with a sponsor to do this process, how early along did you start using the tools of the maintaining steps, particularly 10 and 11? Thanks.
Well, you know, we worked through those steps. I think that I really made it. I liked the concept. I'll go with this. I liked the concept of the maintenance, the inventory, and then prayer, meditation, and seeking God, and then, you know, service. And so I think that started, like, all as part of it. And I think it had a lot to do with who my sponsor is and how she operates, and I sort of emulated a lot of that. But I got to say, I wasn't very good at working. A lot better at working. I really will enjoy step 11 because that's my step. But I was kind of shaky with 10 for a while, but I've gotten better with it. I still have work to do. Ask Buddy the cat.
You guys on Zoom, can you hear the questions okay? Yes? No? Zoomers, yes? You hear okay?
I see you, Marsha.
Yes, we can hear her very well. I was going to ask Marilyn, because it has to be question form, so I was thinking a tactful way of asking Marilyn if she's a painter.
A painter? Like an artist painter?
Well, you painted a perfect picture of step 10 in my mind.
Good. Thank you.
That's it.
I like that.
Any other questions from anybody?
You okay back there?
I dropped my sparkling water.
Oh, okay. Hi, Marilyn. Thanks very much for coming out and doing this tonight. My question for the 10th step is, I know at the, you know, as you stay sober longer, that spot check inventory becomes more and more apparent. But before that real knowing yourself and knowing the program and applying it and taking those maintenance steps. But when you're first learning the program, you go to 6 and 7 and you're learning about your shortcomings and character defects. You make your amends and then you jump into this 10th step, which is kind of like you expressed before, you weren't very good at it before. I know for myself, what my question is I came up with, you know, I did have to write stuff down, okay, because I really wasn't familiar with character defects, character assets, I just wasn't familiar with the program. I understood what you were saying, but my comprehension level was really low. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was that, like a lot of people, you know, resentments are, you know, the mask for anger. And I wasn't really an angry person to myself. But any time I asked anybody what it was, the first word they used to describe me was anger. And usually it was frustration, and I had to do that work behind it. But what I had to do, and I wondered if your experience is, when you're really teaching somebody this 10th step, and your awareness level when you don't have much time and you don't have much experience with this, how do you help them when, like, things keep repeating themselves? You know, like, for me, it was like I had a lot of authority issues, and it would disguise itself in different ways. How do you help people recognize, number one, even when you don't, you know, at the beginning, when you don't recognize what these shortcomings and character defects really are and the different manifestations, how do you help them see them so when you get more experience with that spot check inventory, they can catch it beforehand? How do you deal with people when you're working with them like that?
Well, with my sponsees, I actually do use a formula. First off, I ask people to, some people aren't really much at journaling, just write stuff down. Get a little journal book and date it and write things down. But actually, there is it's called DER, it's a form of assertive communication. And I use it with my people who are having a hard time with it. It's describe the situation, the problem, express how you feel, and then resolve. And the resolution, it works out really well with step 10 because it's making an amend. So I've used that with several people. And actually, I talked to somebody this morning that I sponsor, and it was just so wonderful because she de-escalated the situation assertively without, you know, any kind of judging or anything, and it was because she communicated like that. So that's just a little tool that I picked up for myself, and I use that with my sponsees a lot.
Is that it for questions? All right. Thank you, Marilyn.